Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
It is 8:32. I'm Howard Feldman. A very, very good morning to you. South Africa's moving to phase out a host of products that contain mercury. The country's latest draft regulations for the management of mercury in South Africa were gazetted for public comment on Monday. This phase-out plan will prohibit the export, import and manufacturing of some light bulbs, batteries, cosmetics and pesticides. All products identified within the gazette referenced with a threshold for mercury content are scheduled to be banned in South Africa from the 1st of April 2023. We wanted to understand what this means. Professor Anthony Turton, professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State. Good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning to you and the listeners.
So what is the fuss? How does mercury impact on our environment?
Well, mercury is a very interesting substance. It's a metal. It is found almost everywhere in small quantities. It is associated with geology because it comes out of the earth. And ironically, while the listener seeks to ban certain products, the two biggest sources of mercury in South Africa are from the burning of coal, fossil fuels. And the second biggest source is undoubtedly the use of mercury by artisanal miners, so-called zama-zama miners, that use mercury to amalgamate the gold flakes that they release in their milling process. So
right.
Those are the two undoubtedly biggest sources of mercury, and it goes into the environment and it accumulates. It bioaccumulates in fatty tissue, and that's the problem with it.
And what does it do to our environment? What's the problem with it?
Well, in the environment where we're finding it now is you find it typically in fish and in wetlands. So if you look, for example, at the gold mining areas, all of the gold mining areas on the Witwatersrand are always associated with some other flay or wetland. And those wetlands not only accumulate all the metals, they also accumulate gold, but in the process they accumulate mercury. So a lot of those flays are now being illegally mined by artisanal miners because they've got significant quantities of gold in the wetlands. And that's also now releasing the mercury, because when the gold flakes, they're all individual gold flakes, and they have to be amalgamated into what's called an amalgam ball. And they do that by exposing it to mercury. So they're importing huge quantities of mercury illegally. And that attracts the little gold flakes into one coherent blob. And what they then do is they put a blowtorch on it and they evaporate the mercury. And that mercury now goes up into the atmosphere as a volatile. And it's that mercury, that atmospheric mercury, that is now breathed in by people all over the show without them knowing it. And you must remember that in Alice in Wonderland, there was a thing called the Mad Hatter.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why the Hatter was mad was because mercury used to be used in the hatting, in
yes,
hat making industry.
Yes, that's right. Mad as a Hatter, that's where
yep.
It comes from. Mm.
Yeah. So it basically breaks down your central nervous system. It causes all kinds of impairment, but... I was reading up on it last night in preparation for this interview, and I see some of the latest research also talks about it crossing the placenta into an unborn fetus, where it impacts very severely on the cognitive ability of the fetus.
So it really is a very potentially a very dangerous substance, and the limiting of mercury in our environment is actually a very good thing.
Yes, undoubtedly it's a good thing, but now you're going it's about the 80-20 principle.
Right,
so you're putting 80% of your effort onto where 20% of the problem lies. You see, and where's really the biggest problem undoubtedly lies in the combustion of coal. That's really what it comes down to.
So is there even a point? I mean, what's the point in getting rid of, let's say, some batteries that might contain mercury if we're busy pumping it into the environment when we burn coal anyway?
Well, if I was cynical, I would say it's the illusion of power, and so the illusion of being in control.
Yes,
But I, you know, that's being cynical now.
But you're allowed. You're allowed. On this show, you're allowed to be a bit cynical.
You know, let's be less cynical and say, well, you know, you want to start somewhere, and that's clearly not a good thing for us to throw any of these metals around, particularly batteries and stuff like that. We're living today in a world awash with electronics, and electronics have got all sorts of things in them, of which mercury is but one. Lithium ion batteries, etc. These are all rare elements, but they're all toxic in some form. So basically, all metals in general they impact in some way or other on the central nervous system, and they can also cause toxicity of the kidneys and the liver, because they've got to be metabolized. And the problem with mercury is that it bioaccumulates, so it stays in the body. It doesn't disappear. That's the problem.
Did our fillings used to have mercury in them?
Yes. Now, you get different kinds of mercury. And when I was reading up in preparation for this, I read quite clearly that the mercury that you find, for example, in your makeup products, you know, your beauty care products, generally is not the dangerous form of mercury. Amalgam used to have mercury in it, so there was a big issue about how to get rid of amalgam fillings in the dental industry. And a decision was made that it would be phased out over time. So today, you get very few people with amalgam fillings in their teeth. If they are there, you know, if they haven't caused problems, they probably won't cause problems. But you're not going to get any more new amalgam fillings. And there's a whole new range of dental products now that are way healthier than the old ones. So it's a question of slowly phasing these things out of society.
Yeah, but it is fascinating how we focus maybe on the easier targets, but when things become a little bit complicated, well, then it's just best to avoid them because we don't know how we're going to deal with that. And that seems to be the approach here to mercury curtailment, which we're saying is a good thing, but you've got to do it properly and you've got to do it across the board, not just attack certain industries. Is that right?
Yes, so I would say the two areas, you know, if I was in any sort of a position of authority working on this policy, I would say that the two areas that really, if you want to get the biggest bang for the buck, certainly I would start off with artisanal mining, now all of your Zama mining operations, so that's the advantage on a mining area, and anyone living in the vicinity of those illegal activities is going to be exposed in some way or other to the the gaseous forms of this vaporized mercury. Sorry, I just got a trolley myself. And then, of course, the big one, which is very difficult to change now, is the combustion of coal. So Eskom, you know, Eskom and Sasol, these are huge users of coal. Now, how are you going to change that? Well, that's got serious economic implications for the for the entire economy. That's got to be dealt with, with circumspection, but it's got to be dealt with decisively, but, you know, over a period of time. And ultimately, it really becomes a death knell for an industry like Sasol, an industry like Eskom. You know, how can they carry on if you are banning the use of coal because of mercury? So, no, these are vested interests, and these are very complex, vexing problems that are not easy to overcome.
Professor Anthony Turton, he's a professor at the Center for Environmental Management at the University of the Free State, talking to us about the fact that products with mercury will be banned in 2023 and the impact that it has on our environment.